We are like clay. Static. Unrecognizable. Nothing. A formless mass with no direction, no purpose, no meaning. We are like clay. Pliable. Movable. Moldable. In the hands of the Creator, we can be changed. Made beautiful, given life, nothing becomes something extraordinary. The transformation takes time. The process is tedious, difficult, painstaking. But soon, we see the beginnings of something wonderful. The formless takes shape. The unrecognizable finds its identity. The meaningless is given purpose. From nothing comes beauty. We are like clay. Each piece different than the next. Given unlimited potential in the hands of the potter.
I want to say good morning. Welcome to Lifeway. Welcome to Lifeway Live Online. Everybody joining us streaming. We are continuing in our series called Reclaiming Your Mind. When you use the phrase reclaim, what does that mean? You've given something away. Something's been taken from you, so you have to do what? Take it back. You have to take it back. And so our foundational verse is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. And this is what Paul says, and this is what we base our series off of. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, the Apostle Paul is saying, practice these things, and the God of peace will be, what? With you, with us. And so today we're focusing on just one word within that, in those two verses. And the word we're focusing on is whatever is lovely. If you go back to the first verse, and it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure. And this week, it's whatever is lovely. Now, the word lovely there is translated whatever is positive. Whatever is of a positive nature. We all know people that are very positive people. We also know people that are very negative people, right? Remember how I've been training you for the last two decades? When you figure out who the negative people are at church, what is the first question that you never ask them? How you doing? Why? Why don't you ask? Because they're going to tell you. And then you'll leave needing something for depression and anxiety. You'll be like, oh my gosh. Now, some of you evil people, you'll leave going, wow, I don't have as many problems as they have. I feel so good about myself. If you will notice, whether it's at church or at your job or in your home, people want to be around positive people. I want to be around the person that every time I see them, they're like, hey, how are you? God bless you. It's a beautiful day. I want to be around somebody that's going to build me up because every day I can't be that person. So I want to be around those people because they actually help my attitude. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your attitude can begin to mirror the people you hang out with? You hang out with negative people, you start having a lot of negative thoughts, negative ideas. You hang out with positive people, you start thinking just about anything is possible if we try, right? And so what we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about exchanging our negative thoughts, okay? So We're going to look at what is positive, what is lovely. But the problem is, most of us don't struggle having lovely thoughts. And if you do, we'll get into it later. It's a neurotransmitter that could be the problem. But we mostly have problems with negative thoughts. I'm talking about things of fear, anxiety, sadness, depression. And when those thoughts or feelings come over us, it almost feels sometimes like it's wrapped chains around us and it's holding us down, right? We're going to talk about that. And I did not exchange my seminary degree for a degree in neuroscience, so I'm just going to briefly go over that and hit the high points of it. But the brain is a very unique organ in the body. The brain literally controls every other organ in the body. And you have these neurotransmitters in the brain. Now, there's three main ones. We're not going into them. We're not going to talk about those. But here's the thing. When something happens in your life, good, bad, sad, or happy, your brain secretes a certain chemical. And that chemical either helps you to feel happy or it makes you feel sad or scared. You know that fight or flight syndrome that God built into us? Here in South Texas, it's normally when you see a copperhead or a rattlesnake, right? All of a sudden, you could be crippled with a handicap sticker. You see a snake within 6 feet, you're able to jump on the roof. Flat-footed, just boom, you're there. You don't know how, you could turn a car over at that moment, right? That's because of all that adrenaline that just rushed through your body. Now, negative thoughts, they interrupt and they interfere with our lives. Because those kinds of thoughts, sadness, depression, anxiety, they keep us from being what God has called us to be. What did Paul tell us there in Ephesians? Think on the things that are lovely and pure and wonderful and honorable. Think on these things. Where are we supposed to focus our mind? On the positive things, on the wonderful things. And so sometimes we're not just fighting our mind, we're fighting those people around us that are negative Nellies, right? Okay, I'm not talking about negative Nellies this morning. I'm just talking about you. But the effect people have on you can be as great as those neurotransmitters flowing through your brain and firing off all kinds of signals. So you have either trained yourself or someone else has trained you to react a certain way every time there's a negative thought. And we're saying negative thoughts are what? Sadness, anxiety, and fear. And we can literally group all of these under fear, but I'm not going to go into that this morning. Because what is fear? Well, anger is fear over what just happened that you don't like. And anxiety is fear over what hasn't happened, but what might happen, right? And so when these things happen, your brain releases chemicals. When you have feelings of fear or anxiety, let me tell you what your body's doing. Your brain secretes a chemical. Your heart rate increases. You get a little short of breath. You breathe a little faster. You might get sweaty. You might break out in a sweat. Your hands might start shaking. And that's because in that moment, you have identified that moment. And therefore, by memory, your brain, which you have trained, reacts the way that you have trained it. But now something wonderful happens, something happy, something wonderful. You see family you haven't seen since last Christmas. Just walking up the sidewalk, you just feel warm all over. And you give them a big hug and it's like, yeah, the house is going to be a mess for a week. You know what I'm saying? You feel happy. So what does your body do when that chemical is released? Well, that's a stimulant that reacts to pleasure. So now what happens? Your blood vessels kind of dilate. Oh, you might feel a little cool. And you just have this all over feeling of everything's just okay right now. Just right now, everything's just okay, right? And so for every one of those type of emotions, negative or positive, your body, when you say, uh-oh, this is a, and you fill in the blank with your emotion, your brain is going to say, I know how to react because I have been trained. Now, I must also say this medical caveat here is that there are some people that are missing or have a lower level of some of those neurotransmitters, and so they can feel depressed or they could feel anxiety, okay? Have you ever heard of anybody having too much of the I'm happy neurotransmitter? I mean, who have you ever met that's just like, all the time, I've got a flat tire. Thank you, Jesus. Who is that? We got to work on, they need to start researching that one, okay? But not surprisingly, let me just share this with you. Not surprisingly, memories of previous experiences influence how you respond to a new event. Previous memories influence how you respond. For example, if you almost drowned as a child, then you may have a fear of water. Every time you get around a body of water or something, it's almost like you relive it. You've ever been so afraid of something, and just the thought of it makes you scared? Anybody ever happened to you before? Just something that you felt was very scary, right? Or like, gee, I almost died. Now, if you ride with me, most people claim that happens all the time. I believe I'm just testing your faith, because if you're really saved, you don't care. Know what I'm saying? You're going. You just might go that day, see? But when something bad happens, or something fearful, anxiety, your mind remembers how you initially felt about it, and it's going to secrete that chemical, and now you're at the mercy of your body reacting. So we can train our brains. We can retrain our brains. I shared this with you before in a previous series. Do you remember me sharing with you that negative people, if they're negative all the time, every time they're negative, they start to rewire their brain. And so that's why they're negative all the time, because they have trained themselves to find the most pessimistic response to every single thing. Hey, we've got a big building program going on upstairs. We're raising more money than we've ever imagined in the shortest amount of time and attempting to do it with volunteer labor and have it ready by August the 11th. Yeah, I never thought it was going to happen. I'm just going to stand here to say I told y'all so, it's impossible. See, there are people like that. But the sad thing is, they say it right in front of the people that are on their hands and knees sweating to get something done up there, but won't lift a hand to help. Have you ever been working really hard at something? You just doing your best to keep your head above water, and then somebody comes and critiques you or complains about you, and you're just like, not today. You need to step off. This could be a felony if I get up here. If I get up off, this could be a felony. You need to step off, right? The little motley crew of volunteers that we have here at Lifeway, we have to constantly pray over them and pray with them and stand beside them, because every Saturday is a work day until we get the school opening. Y'all know that, right? Does anybody else wake up and pray about this? Will you start doing it with me? Will you start going to bed and praying about it with me? And if you're off on Saturday, would you please come up here? Because we don't need anybody to lift cinder blocks over their head anymore, okay? We're down to the part where we need professionals now. That means moms and teenagers. We got to do a lot of sweeping and cleaning and hauling trash. We need everybody that we can get. But there's always going to be somebody standing down at the foot of the stairs going, yeah, well, I don't know why they're not getting more done. Look at all the help they're getting. And then they're like, we don't even know what's going on. Come on up. It's only 115. That can cause you, if you've been working till your hands are bloody till 2 in the morning, that can cause you to have some, Jesus might need to talk to them, right? But listen, we can't let what other people say and do and think affect us in our lives, or we'll never accomplish anything. We have a habit of saying, hey, how you doing today? And you know how that's interpreted? You know how we interpret that in America? When somebody says, how you doing? You automatically think of everything bad going on in your life. Well, you know, this shoulder is acting up a little bit, and then my bursitis, and then I got this bad arthritis, you know. And then you know that my bad knee ever since it rained. Like, for once, when somebody says, hey, how's it going? You're like going, praise God, I'm alive. I am here. Woo, Jesus. Now, that person might not hang out with you much anymore, but you'll get some new friends, I promise, because they're going to be like, who just raised their hands and shouted? I'm going to go hang out with them because I need a little bit about what they got. So you can train your brain. So just as you can train your brain and hardwire it and rewire it to be negative, guess what else you can do by the grace of God? You can rewire it to be positive. Negative experiences flood the brain with stress hormones, and then you fixate on these, and then you can't see the big picture, you can't see the truth. Now, you're training your brain to have the same reaction every time that thought pops into your head. Now, you've heard people say, well, look, just don't think about sad things. Just whatever that bad thought is, just don't think about it. What is the only thing you can think about when somebody says don't think about something? That thing. It is impossible to go, well, just don't think about it. Now I'm thinking about it more. It was 1080p. When you said that, it's in 4K. Y'all, the rest of y'all old people, look that up. It's about resolution, okay? I can see it even clearer now that you told me to stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about it. What's the only thing chubby people think about on the first day they start a diet? Food. How am I going to cheat? Where can I hide it? How will I explain it to myself? How will I justify a triple dip cone at Dairy Queen? And will that little girl handing it to me through the window believe me when I say it's for one of my grandkids? So we make excuses for ourselves. Let's go through this quickly, okay? Let's do this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Listen to what it says. It says this. We destroy arguments. Listen to this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, in context, this is the Apostle Paul, and he is battling people at the church at Corinth because false teachers had come in. And they were saying, don't believe Paul, don't do it that way, here's a more fun, here's an easier way, it's got to be different. And these people, these false teachers, were undoing everything that the Apostle Paul was doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul said, stop listening to those things. It says that we can destroy arguments in every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Now, in that context, he was talking about what they were going through at that church and what he was telling those people, those new believers that were young and tender and curious. He says, stop believing. Destroy all these arguments. Take every thought captive to God. Does that same verse apply right now in your lives? Maybe not with a false teacher, so to speak, of the scriptures. But is this how we should live? Destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. You say, well, that's the knowledge of God. That's the Bible, right? No. Yes. What's the first verse we read? If there's anything wonderful, pure, lovely, think on these things and the peace of God will be yours, right? Is that God's word? My friends, what Paul said in Philippians is as true as John 3:16. Now, why is it you've staked your eternal destiny on one verse, but we don't live the other verse? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and then we do what? And we take every thought captive to do what? To do what? Y'all tell me. To obey Christ. So that means when that negative thought comes to your mind, you need to say, not today, Satan. Take it captive, wrap some chains on it, kick it out. Wait a minute, you just said that wasn't possible. No, we haven't finished this thing, okay? So if we look at the context of this, that means take it captive. But here's what we've got to do. We have to reverse the hardwired habit of fear and anxiety. We got to change that thing. We've got to change how we're thinking, and taking control is one of it. Now, neuroscience has proven this with medical research with people that suffer from chronic depression, anxiety, fear, a lot of these disorders. They've proven this. They have this thing, and it's three simple words, and it's called notice, shift, rewire. Okay? Now, here's what the scientists tell us. They say, first, notice that negative thought is probably not even reality. First, notice that this is a negative emotion. It's sadness, it's fear, it's anxiety, somebody cut you off, whatever. First, notice like, hey, I'm not dealing with this the right way. And then it says shift. Shift your thinking. Now, the scientists have proven that if a person with that thought coming into their mind can take it captive, and then they will spend, listen to this, 15 to 30 seconds thinking about something that is positive and good. Every time you do it, little by little, you are rewiring your brain. Now, does that make sense so far? There will not be a test. I just want to let y'all know. Does everybody got that? So in God's economy, it's explained like this. Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 2. And then think on the promises of God, Philippians 4, verse 8. And then the peace of God will be with you, verse 9. And so God's not in competition with what neuroscientists have discovered. Who designed the brain? Starts with G, ends with odd. Anybody want to help me? God did. God designed a brain. And we're just now figuring out that what God said is true. Take it captive. Capture it. It is now a prisoner, no longer in charge. Wrap it in chains. And then take it captive. And make that thought do what? Look at the words on the screen. Take that thought and make it do what? Obey Christ. What does Christ say? If there's anything wonderful, pure, lovely, excellent, worthy of praise, think on these things and the peace of God will be with you. Oh, I just don't have any peace in my life right now. Well, you're focused on all the wrong things. Are there enough wrong things that we could focus on? Are there enough? Yeah. The pharmacies in town do not have enough antidepressants to take care of all of us with all negative thoughts if we allow them to take control of us. God told us how to do this. And the scientists call it notice, shift, rewire. God says, take it captive. Think on the right things. And then you experience the peace of God. The neuroscientists have proven this, and they detail it if you will notice it, and you will shift to positive for 15 to 30 seconds every time it happens. You will begin to rewire your brain so that you don't focus on the negative. I like to think of every negative thought as an opportunity to do something creative or fix or build or redo something. And because I believe a measure of our faith is, how do we deal with negative things? How do we deal with scary things? Now, I promise you, if I step out the back porch and I hear a baby rattle going off and there's no daycare in my backyard, and I look down at something that looks like a snake, I promise you, fear will take over. I'll do a double backflip and land flat-footed on the roof. You know, whoo, praise God. Olympic 10, 10, 10. But I'm talking about the things that continually capture your thoughts and your emotions and your lives. God didn't plan for you to live that way. Now, not only do we need to control our thoughts, but Proverbs 4:23, what a telling verse. It says this: be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Would you agree with that? Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. When somebody says, how are you doing, and you tell them all the bad stuff going on, what's in charge of your day? What's got control of your mind and your heart that day? It's not the power of the Holy Spirit, y'all. It's the power of the deceiver. I'm gonna interject here once again. There are some people that those chemicals are either absent at a lower level, or that part of the brain is not secreting it. And there are some people that actually need medication and therapy for that. So I'm not knocking anybody. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? But be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your day. Another version puts it like this: guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. They agree, don't they? Don't they complement each other, those two different versions of the same verse? Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Now, this isn't the heart, the organ. This is your core, your belief, your soul. And there's a mind connection. And the Bible's full of verses about how we should think and how we should control our emotions and our feelings and our attitudes. Because listen, you can't serve God with a bad attitude. You can try, but it won't work. You can't serve God when you're full of fear. That's why people that think that they have salvation in Jesus Christ, you know, because they joined that right church, or they went to the right class, or they went through the right ceremony, but they don't have the Holy Spirit sealed up inside of them as a promise of eternal life. That's why they begin to feel uneasy. They're like, wait a minute, but I'm a Christian. I've been a member of X denomination and church X for so long. Why am I feeling this? And now I have feelings of uneasiness, because they don't have assurance of their salvation. Guard your hearts. Do you know how many people they call Lifeway Home today came thinking that they had eternal life, and really they just had a denomination really figured out well? Did you know that? And please don't ever think that this pastor, this church, thinks that the only way to heaven is through us, okay? Everybody got that? Jesus is the only Savior, okay? And nobody's checking the name on your church when you get to heaven. What will be questioned is, have you repented of your sins, and have you surrendered to Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life? That's the answer you got to give. Because see, the Bible says it, when we repent of our sins and we take Christ as our Lord and Savior, that our name gets written somewhere. Where's it get written? Ain't no graffiti in heaven, y'all. It's written in what? The book of life. Guess what? When you get there, your name better already be in the book, because you can't add it then. There is hope as long as you're breathing. There is hope. Never give up hope on somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Never give up hope. Never give up hope. Pray for them. There's always hope. Dr. Michael Stein, he's a clinical psychologist. He puts it like this, and I share this quote with you. He says, it's like you are battling your mind with its negative thoughts about what you should be afraid of, and it tells you to worry and to analyze. Your mind is a bully. Stop worshiping your mind. It is a false god and unworthy of your trust, respect, and time. Sounds like good advice, right? In that same publication on rewiring your brain, one neuroscientist said it like this. He said, it's like negative thoughts in your mind are Velcro, and positive thoughts in your mind are like Teflon. Right? Because we soon forget the positive, don't we? But we hang on to the negative. Mike Sorrells can vouch for this. When we were both in the restaurant business, we lived by customer reviews, right? 10 people can say, best food in the world, my favorite place to eat. One person says, that was a horrible experience. My food was nasty. The waiter was rude, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Now you going to drive another 2 miles down the highway because you're like, they don't have that many good reviews. We got to keep going. Have you ever bought anything off the internet before? Anybody here ever bought anything? Any of you savvy people ever read reviews? I'm almost out of time, but listen. The more reviews you read, don't you get more confused? Because you got 3,000 people saying, best product ever this side of heaven. And then there's three or four that says, don't waste your money. It's junk. I got mine, blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, my gosh. And you're like, well, I thought 4.5 stars would be good. And then you go, wait a minute. Are some of those fake reviews? Did the company pay every employee $1 for everything they logged on? I wonder what if. You're like, mm-mm. I got to buy the more expensive one because I know that's the only way it's. You ever done that before? Have you ever thought you knew what you wanted till you read the reviews? And then you're like, whoa, I can't pull the trigger. I need to buy something right now. I spend about 20 minutes a day for the last week just looking and looking. I can't hit that enter button. I'm like, not yet. Mm-mm. I'd rather walk through cut glass than return anything. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather do without than have to rebox it, get permission, and have somebody or take it and get it. You know what I'm saying? Those negative reviews are like negative thoughts. And we have to not only take those things captive, but we have to guard our hearts. See, you can't always control the thoughts that pop into your head. But you are in charge of how long they get to stay. Let me say it again. You can't control the thoughts that pop into your head, but friend, you get to control how long they stay there. You just can't sit there and dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it. Now, is it difficult? Yes. Remember that? Remember that 3-step process? First, acknowledge that this is a negative thought. Take it captive. Think of something positive. Think of the opposite. Think of God blessing you and God wanting the best for you. Think on that 15, 30 seconds. And during that 15 to 30 seconds, you've rewired a teeny tiny part of your brain. And every time you go through that process of obeying God, because when we obey God, the things that the scientists discovered, God built them into us already. That's why God said, take every thought captive. Think on positive things. Have a good attitude. And then the peace of God will come. A lot of you are chasing something in life, and it's not the peace of God. I promise you, whatever you're chasing, if you ever catch it, you're going to want to get rid of it as fast as you can. It's just proven. I know nobody in here would say, I don't ever want to win the lottery because I read how that will ruin people. Anybody here accidentally win the lottery would just go, nope, I'm not keeping the money. It'll ruin me because by percentages, most people that win the lottery are miserable, depressed, They have no friends, and everybody wants to. Anybody here just say, nope, I'm going to flush that ticket down the toilet. Who? Wait a minute. Really? Count hands for me, okay? But how many of you would say, well, if I did, I'm going to give 50% of my church? What, count hands, Kyle. Never mind, it didn't take long, did it? Have you ever thought about that? See, I love to dream. I'm like, what would I do with $100 million? See, I don't know. Y'all dream about millions. I dream about hundreds of millions, all right? I'm serious. I do. I dream big. I don't mess with the little stuff. I was in the store, and people were lined up, and I'm like, what's going on? They said, oh, the lottery's at some. I'm like, really? And the guy said, the guy in front of me, complete redneck, okay? I love rednecks, okay? I is. But he said, yeah. He says, I don't get all excited about it till at least gets to 100 million. I don't mess with the little stuff. He walked out of there with his Copenhagen Dr. Pepper and got into a broken down rusted truck and drove off. And I said, well, see, that man's got high standards. I don't mess with it till it's 100 million. I don't know how sad I'd be if you just threw a million or two at me. You know what I'm saying? But you ever notice how thinking on good things make you feel good, makes you feel hopeful? The Bible says in Proverbs, guard your heart. Don't let it in, because once it gets in, it's hard to get it out. Ever fed a stray animal that adopts you after that first meal? See, guard what you let in. Because what you let in will change you. It will change you. Have you seen people that money has changed them? Have you ever met somebody that came into a lot of money? Or they changed careers and started making two or three or four or five times what they made? You ever notice how they're different now? Almost like they don't want to hang out with you anymore. Almost like, You ever notice that? You ever notice how they're better than you now? Well, see, money will change people. Now, do you know why probably no one in this room will ever win the lottery? Do you know why? You want to know the spiritual reason? Because God loves poor people way more than he loves rich people. He made more of us, didn't he? Right? Am I right? So if I'm going to make cookies all day long and I don't like raisins, guess what? I'm not going to make many cookies with raisins in it. They're going to be quadruple chocolate chip. Somebody says, ooh, that's too much. I'm like, not for me. Step out of my kitchen. See, I'm going to make what I like. God must love poor people because he made so many of us. Poor people pray about their tires lasting a little longer. Anybody here ever got spiritual and you dead broke and you got two paydays away and you go out there and you just put your hand on that bald tire with that steel belt showing through and you say, now, Lord, whoo, in two paydays, I'm going to get me a tire. And the next payday, I'm going to get that. But right now, Lord, I'm praying over this tire right here. Jesus, touch that tire for 2 weeks. Please, Jesus. Now, some of you go, that's a little extreme. All right. But that's the same kind of way you pray when that little red fuel button, that little tag, when you realize it's lower than it's ever been with the engine still running, you're like going, ooh, help me, Jesus. Y'all get religious then. I know you do. We have to guard what gets in, because what gets in rewires our brains and makes us lean towards the negative and not the positive. And now look, let's do the last one. We control our thoughts. We guard our hearts. And the last thing is this. Stop thinking. Stop thinking like everyone else so you can live for Jesus. So many of you in this room, you say, oh, I just want to live for Jesus. Yeah, but you're thinking about all the wrong things because Jesus can't get anything out of you right now. You're not a blessing to the kingdom right now because you're so focused on whatever thought has taken you captive. Romans 12:2 from the Living Bible, it reads like this. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. Quit trying to live your best life and live his best life for you. See, the life you think God has for you may not be what he really has for you. You know, maybe you're not going to live on the hill with 1,000 cattle in the valleys, okay? Maybe you're not going to have that Escalade and a travel trailer longer than your last name. Maybe you're not going to have a garage full of toys. Maybe that's not the life God has for you. But real happiness doesn't come from stuff. And real happiness doesn't come from popularity or money, does it? If so, there wouldn't be a single depressed, suicidal Hollywood star, would there? They have tens and hundreds of million dollars in the bank. They cannot cough in their bathroom without an article being written, right? Oh, they wanted fame and fortune, and then they got it, and now what do they want? They want to hide. And now they're depressed. Why? Because what they thought they wanted, once they received it, they realized that just wasn't it. And some of us in this room, we've been there too. We thought this is what we wanted. We got what we thought we wanted, and we realize I'm still not happy. What do we need to be chasing after? We need to guard our heart from the negative stuff and not let it in. Control our thoughts, take them captive. And then we got to stop thinking like the world thinks and think about what God wants for us. Did you know how much honor there is in being faithful to God's plan for your life, even if your car isn't as new as your neighbor's? Do you know how much satisfaction and peace comes from knowing that you're following the Lord? Even if you don't get to take that dream vacation that everybody else does. Listen, I tell everybody here, if y'all can afford to go on vacation, amen. I'm not jealous one bit. Post pictures, okay? Because I live through your vacation. Some of you, I've eaten meals with you. I've ridden attractions with you. I've looked out your hotel room with you. Because you put those pictures up and I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'm there. But I didn't spend any money. And I'm still in Quail. I got to go to Disney. I got to go to France. I got to go on that cruise. Man, y'all know I've been on so many cruises in the last 5 years. I'm just like, was the food good? Send me pictures. Oh, that must have been fantastic. Stop thinking and acting like everyone else. This world says that right now in our society, we must be completely crazy. The world's going crazy. One statement that I do not agree with, and if I disagree with you on this, you can send your complaints to Pastor Kyle Clinton Lifeway Quero TV. But because of this COVID-19 thing, I've even heard Christians say this, well, we're living in a new normal. No, we're not. I refuse to believe that the kingdom of God is any different today than it was 2 years ago. I'm not going to let the fear of a disease, of a virus that is real, I'm not going to let the fear of that keep me from being who God called me to be. I'm not going to accept the fact that I can't be what I was before. I refuse to be put in a cage, physically or emotionally. How about you? It's not a new normal. It's the same crazy, y'all. There's always going to be something crazy going on in this world. Are you just going to feel like they tell you to feel at the time? Or are you going to say, my God is a mighty God. My God is the rescuer. My God is Yeshua. He is the rescuer. He is a Messiah. To live in fear is to live in the absence of faith. Faith is not blindly stepping into the dark. Faith is saying, God, wherever you send me, you're going to be with me. So I'm not blind and it's not dark because the light of the world is in my heart. And I will go where you lead me. The final thing I share with you is this. God wants to show you how to live satisfied in a life of peace. It may not be the life you imagine it to be, but what we really need is a life of peace that comes from God. then you don't need every toy. You don't need the biggest car. You don't need the newest this, and you don't need that, and you don't need stuff. You realize you just need Jesus. I'd rather sit in a broken down trailer house eating a stale bread bologna sandwich and know that Jesus is in my heart than to sit on a mansion on a hill having the finest meal, doubting whether I'm a child of God or if God actually has influence over my life. You know what I'm saying? When you get that peace and satisfaction from God, nobody can take it. But what we have to remember, what? Proverbs 4. Guard your heart and don't let it in. Let me ask you to bow your heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now thanking you for the mercy and the grace that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And we come to you right now, and every one of us have got some negative thoughts. Every one of us has something that just has a way of getting in and tearing us down for the day or the week. Father, you know our weaknesses. Build us up. Help us to control our thoughts. Father, teach us to take that thought captive. Wrap it in chains. Then help us to think upon your love, your mercy, your grace, the salvation of your Son, and the peace that he wants us to experience in this chaotic life. Let us focus on those things. Let us share that message. Father, may we experience the peace that only comes from you so that we can share the grace that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Steady our thoughts and our minds, Father. And anyone within the sound of my voice this morning, watching online across the state of Texas and out of state, Father, speak to their hearts right now. Do they know you? Can they emphatically say that they know you as their heavenly Father? Do they have that relationship with you? Have they sought reconciliation? God, I'm a sinner. Father, have they believed that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? Maybe they're alone right now in front of a computer or a TV, and they don't have a church, they don't have any Christian friends. Father, they have you. Speak to their heart. Make yourself known. Pour out your grace and mercy. Father, within this room, there's a lot of people that are believers, but sometimes we don't live like it. Teach us to guard our hearts. Teach us to keep our guard up, to protect our heart and our minds. Father, help us. Remind us to take every thought captive. Father, remind us that we can't control every thought that pops into our heads, but we do get to be in charge of how long we let it stay there. We are not at the mercy of our thoughts. Our thoughts are at the mercy of your divine will and Holy Spirit for us. Father, may we be what you've called us to be. May we as a church live up to what you've called us to be as a church. May we not just be focused on ourselves sitting in here on Sunday morning. Father, put into our hearts a desire to reach the lost in this community. Put in us a desire to reach the lost that live next door and down the street from each of our members. Then give us the courage to boldly present you. You go before us. It's not about what we say or do, Father. It's about us being faithful to you. May we be a church that seeks to see the lost saved and the saved become faithful and experience the peace so that they can now share that with the next generation. May that be our focus. Help us to be what you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you